Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers, those who have completed the salat, come to the masjid area, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, we have been always hearing on our illustrious Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala, Alim Ajma'in, various aspects of their lives, their biographies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised them in various verses of the Holy Quran, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah was pleased with them, they were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And amongst these great stars was a means of guidance for this ummah is the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala an, who is known as Hayyun Sakhiyun Dhun Nurayn, full of modesty, extremely generous, and the possessor of the two lights, because he was married to first Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On her demise, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still chose Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anha to be his son-in-law and married him to his daughter Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha, he was asked to describe Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anha, he said, innahum ru'un يُدْعَى فِي الْمَلَئِ الْأَعْلَى ذُو النُّورَيْنِ. The angels know Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala as the possessor of two lights. His modesty was such that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down one day, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala comes, knocks on the door, seeks permission, makes salam, comes in. At that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's izar was slightly exposing his calves, his shin. And Rasulullah remained in that condition. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq came and spoke to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu comes. The same thing transpires, seeks permission, he comes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seated in the same position. When Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu comes and he seeks for permission to come in, Rasulullah immediately lowers his garment so that his shin, his calves were covered. And then Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu comes in, makes salam, and he speaks to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anhu, who witnessed this, she then inquired of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how come when Sayyidina Uthman came, then you covered your calves? And before that, when the other two came, you just remained in that same condition. He says, أَلَا أَسْتَحْيِي مِنْ رَجُلٍ تَسْتَحْيِي مِنْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Should I not show modesty for that man, for that person, whom the angels also have modesty for? He was so generous that we will see here tonight, inshallah, on the different expeditions and the causes for Islam. When Rasulullah asked for contribution, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani came forward and he poured his heart out to such an extent that Rasulullah on one occasion, Jaysh al-Usra, he said, "Ma ala Uthman ma amila ba'd al-yawm." There is no harm upon Uthman radiallahu ta'ala if he doesn't do any more good action. Because this one action of his today is so beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shurra, right, the commentators say that it has wiped out any and all of his sins. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, of his beautiful, noble qualities, one main quality was that of his love for the Quran. And his wife had mentioned radiallahu ta'ala anha, Naila radiallahu ta'ala anha, when he was assassinated, when he was made shaheed, he says, you can do what you want. Uthman radiallahu, the entire night prior to when he was assassinated, the whole night, he spent reciting the entire Quran in one rakat. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu used to say, لو طهرت قلوبنا لما شبعت من كلام الله. If only our hearts were pure, they'll never become satiated with reciting the Quran. They will want to read more and more and more. Inshallah, we have tonight a young but dynamic alim, who comes from Johannesburg, from the Greenside area. He's the Imam of the Greenside Masjid. He's a Mudarris. He studied in Darul Zakaria and he's also a teacher in Darul Zakaria. He hails from a very pious family, the Mia family from Mia's farm. He was fortunate to do his hifz under Hafiz Abdurrahman Mia Rahmatullahi Ali, who produced thousands of hufaz. And he is in the close company of people like Mona Yunus Daya, who is his uncle from Marlborough. And of course, Mawlana Shabir Saluji and Mufti Ridaul Haq and the other Asatiza Ikiram. Alhamdulillah, Mawlana is extremely humble. He's got great knowledge. And he's doing sterling work in his masjid with his community and many other activities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all his khidmat. May Allah bless him with afiyah, salamati, ifazat. May Allah grow him from strength to strength and give him maqbooliyat. Inshallah, tonight we'll make some sabr and sit for a little bit longer, inshallah. You'll see how interesting and how beautifully Maulana will put across this beautiful topic, which is of extreme importance to the ummah, especially all of us today in this country and throughout the globe. May, inshallah, we call upon Hazrat Maulana to enlighten us, inshallah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم وعن عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم رواه البخاري Most respected as Maulana Naeem Sahib, علماء كرام حفاظ of the Quran Kareem, Allies and friends in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is at Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah Azza wa Jal that through His infinite grace and limitless mercies, He has conferred upon us the greatest thinkable favor ever in the form of this priceless gift of Iman that guarantees a person peace of heart and contentment and a most beautiful life in this temporary abode. That very Iman that will be the source of eternal happiness in the hereafter. Just to have a fathom of the understanding or the value of even an iota of Iman, which is described as tasdeequn nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima ja'a bih, to believe with absolute conviction, doubtless conviction, in everything that our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought and conveyed as a matter of deen. That the person who will be taken out last amongst the believers from the fire of Jahannam, and be the last person to enter into Jannah. In other words, in the history of humanity, the person with the lowest level of Iman, an iota of Iman in the heart, will eventually be the means of eternal salvation. That person, after being cleansed from the effect of Jahannam and honored with entering into Jannah, the lowest believer would get a Jannah 10 times the size of this world. So alhamdulillah that Allah has blessed us this ni'mah of Iman, the perfect, pure and infallible teachings of Islam. And that Allah Ta'ala through His infinite grace once again, over and above bestowing us Iman, making us believers, furthermore has been extremely kind and compassionate to make us believers in the greatest ummah, the greatest of nations, the ummah of our beloved Habib, Sayyiduna Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Al-akhirun al-awwalun, the last ummah to come to this world, but the very first to be granted entry into Jannah, the most noble the most virtuous of all nations to come. And this the barakah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our association with Allah's beloved and Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So daily we make the effort to make shukr to Allah ta'ala for the ni'mah of iman. If we can, 2 rakats of salatu shukr, at the minimum to take out a few minutes daily and ponder and reflect on the virtue of Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on occasion dawns upon a group of sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een congregated in the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst them Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, the great Amir, in whose time Islam has spread to many parts of the world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them that what is the reason for your congregation here? They say we are glorifying and praising Allah that He has guided us towards Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, are you sitting here only for this purpose and nothing else? He says, most definitely. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also at the same time asked them to take a qasam in the name of Allah that that is the only purpose for which they have gathered. They take the qasam, we are sitting here for no other reason. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I did not ask you and emphasize it by means of an oath in the name of Allah, except that this matter is very important. I had no doubt whatsoever regarding your integrity, but because Jibreel alayhi salam has just informed me that at this moment Allah loves this action of yours, praising, glorifying, thanking Allah for guidance towards Islam, that at this very moment Allah ta'ala is boasting by your means to the angels. So the ni'mah of iman, we also try and recite the du'as of protection of iman. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. A dua that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would resort to abundantly in difficulties that we try and include in our sajdas in nafal salah, for example. يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومُ بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيثُ. O the ever-living, the one who keeps everything in existence, I beg and beseech your special mercy upon me. You can add on أصلح لي شأني كله, rectify for me all my affairs, O Allah Ta'ala, ولا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين. O Allah, you see to all my matters and affairs, do not hand me over to my own self without your help, even for a blink of an eye, or even for a split second. So we try and recite this dua to gain the mercy of Allah, and foremost of all, the greatest mercy is the protection of iman, something that we should never ever be complacent about. On the one hand, making shukr to Allah for the ni'mah of iman, but also those who were the means of iman and Islam coming to us. Foremost of all, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, great sacrifices, the tears shed by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of Tahajjud Salah, tawarramat qadama, when the Mubarak feet of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would swell, the crying sound from our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest equated to the sound of a strong boiling kettle of water. And in these moments, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for us, for our hidayat. The tears of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sacrifices, the Mubarak blood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of Taif, all of this so that we can be saved from eternal doom in the Akhirah. And therefore, Durood Sharif, which we are encouraged to do excessively on the night and day of Jummah, more than normal, the spirit of Durood Sharif is, and it is one of the greatest means, as Maulana Shafi'i Thani rahimahullah, a giant of knowledge, after a lifetime of experience in excess of 1,000 of his writings and advices in written form, says that I have found Durood Sharif to be one of the greatest means of drawing close to Allah, gaining the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The spirit of Durood Sharif is basically, we are saying, O Allah, we can never repay Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his favor that iman you have granted us, O Allah, through the means of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot do that, so Allah, we ask you, you send your special mercy and your salutations and peace upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, we are indebted to those who were the first recipients of this deen of iman and Islam from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with great integrity and trustworthiness conveyed it to the ummah. That select group of human beings, Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een, they have a quality that nobody can ever equal them in, the suhba, the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This tells us the importance of the companionship of the salihin of the pious in this very masjid. One of the great ulama of our Muslim history in South Africa, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, by whose means I know many a youngster from Johannesburg who had come in one majlis of Hazrat Maulana rahimahullah ta'ala, changed the entire direction of many, many people's lives. May Allah fill his qabr with nur. That tells us the value and importance of being in the company of the pious. So the companionship of Sahaba that they enjoyed of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something that nobody can equate them in. They are people of absolute integrity. When Allah Ta'ala looked into the hearts of humanity, He found the Anbiya alayhi salam, the messengers of Allah, with the cleanest of hearts and chose them to be His messengers. And thereafter, after them, the group of humanity who had the purest and cleanest of hearts, Allah chose them to be the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it did not happen by coincidence. Allah Ta'ala knew the capabilities, the purity of heart, the integrity of the nature, the character, the truthfulness, and therefore Allah chose them to be the companions, the wives, the helpers, the successors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore Allah Ta'ala lords the accolades upon Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. The Quran is replete with verses about the virtues of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Allah has made them the barometer of iman. إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ. Allah has guaranteed that the one who remains on the Islam taught by Sahaba and brought down to us via the means of our pious and senior elders in deen, generation to generation, heart to heart, practical living examples of the external and internal sunnah. Allah Ta'ala has said that the one who are on the iman of Sahaba, faqad ihtadaw, they are guaranteed to be on hidayat and protected from deviation. And that brings us to our topic. And therefore the enemies of Islam, when they had tried to deviate Muslims away from the Islam revealed by Allah Ta'ala upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then a ploy that they had always employed was to degrade the integrity of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, to poke holes in the trustworthiness and the integrity, to find fault, to criticize, going to the extreme levels of even cursing Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Many such groups have risen in the Ummah in the name of Islam. And one of those foremost of all renowned for these types of efforts, the Shia, who not only revile, condemn, criticize, go to the level of considering cursing the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a form of virtue. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam therefore has also personally interceded. We hear every week in the Jummah khutbah, Allah, Allah fi ashabi. Fear Allah regarding my Sahaba. La tattakhiduhum gharadan min ba'di. Do not make them a target of criticism after me. Do not swear, do not revile and curse my Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. For if one of them were to spend something as minute as just a handful, would be far better than you spending a mountain load for the sincerity, ikhlas, and the companionship of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those Sahaba who have contributed the greatest towards Islam have been made the greatest targets of criticism. The Shia in their books, quotations, that every Sahabi became a murtad, na'udhu billah, an apostate out of the fall of Islam after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the exception of only five. As Sha'bi rahimahullah, great muhaddith, says that when you ask the Jews who are the best of people, they say Ashabu Musa, the companions of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Ask the Christians, they will say Ashabu Isa. And ask the Shia, who are the worst of people on the surface of this earth, they will say Ashabu Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi salam. So all praises be to Allah who has protected us, protected our iman, made us of those who profess great love, muhabbat and veneration for the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They revile certain Sahaba more than others for their seniority. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, our topic of discussion tonight, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anhuma, Hazrat Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, are the main targets of criticism. Also to understand upfront that many a times people may show us certain quotations or narrations. Remember that all of those historical narrations that speak ill of Sahaba, scrutinize the chain of narrators, and one would definitely find at least one or more than one narrators who were either Shia outwardly portraying themselves as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, but later on found out to be of that category who hate Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. So when we hear these narrations, it should be put into context. Best and safest mode is refer to our ulama ikram when any such criticisms or doubts are tempted to be put into our mind. Never engage in such discussions. Our pious predecessors in the ummah have mentioned various advices. Do not revile sahaba. Do not even sit in the company. They have gone to the extent of saying, do not even sit on the same place of eating with those who have ill feelings towards the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala, Mawlana Naeem Sahib has beautifully summarized, enjoys many, many virtues. His lineage goes as follows, and I mention this for a reason. It is Uthman bin Affan bin Abil As bin Umayyah bin Abdi Shams bin Abdi Manaf. Note Abdi Manaf, the fifth great-grandfather of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, is where the lineage of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interlinks with that of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, so they are joined up at the fifth generation. Also, keep in mind, one of the great-grandfathers of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, Umayyah, he is from the clan known as the Banu Umayyah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's clan is known as the Banu Hashim. The reason we mention this is that one of the efforts of the Shia, on the one hand, to portray and give this impression that there was huge enmity between the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the general fraternity of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and sometimes they adopt the ploy professing extreme hatred for the Banu Umayyah, the clan of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhum, from where great Sahaba had come. Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi', Hadrat Abu Sufyan, Hadrat Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, many, many other senior Sahaba had reigned from the Banu Umayyah. So sometimes they make the effort to give this impression that the Banu Umayyah were staunch enemies of the clan of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we shall mention by factual evidence, that there could be nothing further away from the truth than this allegation. On the other hand, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala's mother, her name is Arwa binti Quraiz, and her mother, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's mother's name is Arwa, and Arwa's mother is Ummul Hakim al-Bayda, who happens to be the twin sister of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father. Abdul Muttalib's son, Hadrat Abdullah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father, his twin sister was Ummul Hakim al-Bayda, who is the nani, maternal grandmother of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So look at the close link and lineage, the intermarriages between the Banu Hashim and the Banu Umayyah was something that was existent for a long period of time. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was a person of noble characteristics even before Islam. Before Islam, he had never ever worshipped an idol, contrary to the general practice, prevalent practice at the time. He had never drunk wine. He had never ever committed zina and adultery, not in Islam and never before Islam. A salient feature of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and pertinent to a great challenge that we face in these times is that he was of the highest levels of haya, of modesty, of bashfulness. We hear every Jummah in the khutbah when his name come, Asdaquhum Haya'an Uthman, the most pure as far as haya and chastity is concerned. When I mentioned the incident when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam covered up, even that was well beyond, much more than the awra, the satr, knowing the haya and bashfulness and modesty of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, ألا أستحي من رجل تستحي منه الملائكة. Should I not show modesty to that personality whose modesty is so ingrained and of such a second nature that even the malaika express modesty and bashfulness towards Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. This is a quality that is required knowing the challenges of immodesty, immorality, especially by means of the cell phones, social media. So many countless homes are breaking up because of this fitna of immodesty manifesting itself in all of these. And therefore, the ahkam, the injunctions of hijab, of barda, of such importance, never to be relegated or trivialized. Many a times there is some lackadaisical attitude, and because of that, down the line, relationships develop, marriages and families are broken down, innocent children have to suffer the consequences. May Allah protect me and protect all of us. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was 5 years younger than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in age. At the age of 34, on the da'wah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he enters the fold of Islam. Amongst the very early entrants into Islam, in fact, mentioned as Rabi'u Arba'atin, the fourth person to accept Islam, second to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, after Hazrat Khadija, her daughters, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, a very early entrant into Islam. In his initial days of Islam, like many others, he was persecuted, especially by his uncle, Al-Hakam bin Abil As, persecuted him very, very severely, would tie him up, compel him to leave Islam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told a group of his Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in to migrate away to Abyssinia, the East African part of this continent that has always been a fortress of asylum for Islam and Muslimin. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him to go to Habasha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a statement that Ardu Sidqin, it is a land of truthfulness, wa biha malikun la yudhlamu indahu ahad. There is a king who rules over the Najashi, no oppression takes place in his court, and true to the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were granted great asylum and sanctity in Habasha, even though tempted by various bribes, etc. Alhamdulillah, shukr to Allah ta'ala, by and large we enjoy that very same freedom to practice Islam, not just to practice, but by and large with great honor and dignity. Let us never compromise this dignity by our character, by our dealings, especially to those who have warmly welcomed and allowed Muslims to live and practice the deen freely. The least we can do is show appreciation to them by means of good character, by compassion. At the least, as Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala demonstrated and would encourage, at the least in those whom you have interaction with, your domestics, those in your employment, akhlaq, character, treat with respect and dignity, and see how easily the hearts melt towards Islam. As Maulana, it is renowned that many of those who were in employment, domestics, etc., in a short period of time had accepted Islam. When Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in were in Habasha in Abyssinia, at the time Najashi was not yet a Muslim, for this honor that he had given, Allah later on guided him towards Islam. An enemy country staged an attack upon Habasha. Sahaba who were present at the time, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, participated in the defense of Najashi and his country, appreciating the favor that he had conferred upon them to practice the Islam freely. This is a great lesson that we can take as far as Islam and Muslims existent in this part of the world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, was concerned about the well-being. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu migrated with the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was honored to be in marriage with Ruqayya radiallahu anha, second daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first daughter of Rasulullah s.a.w. Zainab radiallahu anha was in marriage to Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi. When she passed away in the 8th year after Hijrah, Nabi s.a.w. went into the qabr to bury her, was extremely sad, was sorrowful. When he came out after burial, was radiant with happiness. Nabi s.a.w. mentions when being asked the change in emotion, when I went in, I was worried, her thin body, what would happen to her in the torments of the grave. Allah assured me by wahi that Allah will protect her from the adab of qabr. It's a worry and concern we should have at all times. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, this was an overriding conscience when he would pass a qabr or mention of death, would be immediately moved to tears, that the entire beard would become wet. When being told that Jannah and Jahannam does not move you so much, he says, I've heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, the first of the stages of the akhirah is the qabr. If one is successful in that stage, will be successful eternally in all the stages of qiyamah. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa receives the news by one of those who are in Habasha when they come to Makkah, that I saw him in a good condition treating his wife, the daughter of Rasulullah sallam, with great dignity, honor and respect. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa makes a dua in favor of him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa also praises this hijrah and migration by saying that after Hazrat Lut alayhi salam, this is the first hijrah and migration by a family unit on the surface of this earth. The first time that a family unit as a whole migrated for the cause of deen after Hazrat Lut alayhi salam was the family of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. He thereafter was honored with a second migration towards Medina Munawwara. So he is one honored to have migrated twice in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu anha passes away after giving birth to a son, Abdullah, who at the age of 6 was bitten by a rooster, and through that injury eventually succumbed and passed away at the young age of 6. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the battle of Badr, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu expresses his desire to participate, that at that time Hazrat Ruqayyah radiallahu anhu became ill, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, that preference for you at this moment is to stay behind and tend and nurse your wife, look after her in her illness. As the battle of Badr concludes, she passes away in Medina Munawwara, and just as they were finishing burying her, Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu comes galloping into Medina Munawwara, giving the glad tidings of the victory of Badr while they were just merely completing the burial. Thereafter Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu looked extremely saddened. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking the reason. He says, I have lost this link with you by means of marriage, by means of your son-in-law. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa gives him the glad tidings, Allah has commanded me to marry my next daughter, Hazrat Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, also to you. This was an exemplary marriage. The elderly ladies of the Quraysh says, we have never seen a better couple than Hazrat Uthman and Hazrat Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa once comes to visit them, they would send gifts to one another. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa would send a plate of food to the home of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, he in turn would reciprocate. On such occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa was so happy that he made a beautiful dua that may Allah be happy with him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa once visits them at home and notices Hazrat Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha washing the hair of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He praises his daughter and says, take good care of your husband, for he is a man that none of my companions resemble me in character as much as he does. So take good care of your husband. Exemplary father-in-law. She passes away in the 9th year after the hijrah without having borne any children. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa on that occasion says, and this alone is testimony to the status and worthy of note. The Shia try and create this impression that there is huge enmity between the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa and Sayyidina Uthman, Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhum. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa says on that occasion, if I had another daughter, one narration says 40, another says 100 other daughters, I would have given them all in marriage, one after the other, to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Look at the wisdom of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa in consoling at that extremely difficult time. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu enjoys many, many virtues. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inna li kulli nabiyyin rafiqa. Every Nabi will have a special companion in Jannah. And my special companion in Jannah would be Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu an, one occasion, says that today I dedicate my day to being with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He comes and follows Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into an orchard known as Bir Aris. He says, today I will be the doorkeeper of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person comes and knocks. I ask, who is it? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. I go and ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can he come in? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, allow him to come in and give him glad tidings that he is a Jannati. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu comes along, same thing, glad tidings that he is a Jannati, allow him to enter. They both come and sit next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was sitting on the wall of that well. Thereafter, a third person knocks. It is Uthman radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that allow him to come. وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ عَلَى بَلْوَى تُصِيبُهُ. Give him glad tidings of Jannah after a great difficulty that will befall him in the name of Deen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam various occasions alluded to his shahada. He comes and sits on the same well but on the opposite side of the well. The muhaddithin say this means the qabars would be the same. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhuma, next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, a short distance from there in Jannatul Baqi. One occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is climbing Mount Uhud, and with him, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman radiallahu anhum. The mountain starts to shake. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts his Mubarak foot on the mountain, and presses it down and says, Uthbut Uhudan, that remain steadfast, do not shake, because who is on you today? Nabiyun wa Siddiq wa Shahidan. A Nabi, a Siddiq, the greatest supporter of the Nabi, and two martyrs, alluding to the martyrdom of Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhuma. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one occasion, Mur bin Ka'b stood up, giving a khutbah in the lands of Sham, in Syria, in later times. There's one occasion, we were sitting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he mentions the trials and tribulations that will come upon the Ummah shortly. And a person walks past us, his face is covered in a shawl. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this person at that time will be on haqq and on truth, Another extended narration says, he will be martyred as an oppressed person. The narrator says, Mur bin Ka'b radiallahu anh says, I go and I look at the face of this person. It is Uthman radiallahu anh. I verify. I ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it him, Uthman? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the affirmative, that yes, it will be him. These are some of the virtues. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anh became the Khalifa of the Ummah, the leader of the Ummah. After the martyrdom of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anh, in the year 23 Hijri, the month of Muharram, and his Khilafah extended up to the 18th of Dhul Hijjah in the year 35 Hijri. So just under 12 years was the period of his Khilafah. Just to make mention of the areas that had come into Islam during his time, and this is really amazing, when people say that his Khilafah was an intermission, was not one of exemplary leadership, the areas that entered Islam in his time, on the one hand it is 2.4 million square miles. 2.4 million square miles, it doubled what had happened in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's martyrdom. The areas that came into Islam were the following: Hamdan, Ray, from where comes great ulama, Fakhruddin al-Razi, Azerbaijan, Armenia, Khurasan, Tabaristan, Balkh, Herat, from where comes Mullah Ali Qari in Afghanistan. Imagine in his time, Islam expanded right up to Afghanistan. Naishapur, Bayhaq, many parts of North Africa. First naval fleet in the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu insisted to be allowed to lead a naval fleet when he was the Amir of Damascus. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu acceded to this. And through those expeditions, Jazeera, Cyprus, and many other areas coming to Islam. So many parts of the world are indebted to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Exemplary leadership qualities, was a person renowned for his high levels of tolerance, transparency in leadership. Transparency in leadership to the extent, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu had a committee of four Sahaba, renowned for their integrity, people like Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhuma. The four of these were there for transparency reasons. If there was a complaint lodged against any of the governors of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, they would be sent to those regions to go and do investigations and come and report it to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. An i'lan, an announcement would be made in all cities that if anybody has any complaints against the system of governance, should come during the days of Hajj, personally meet, he was accessible as a leader, personally meet Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu during the days of Hajj and lodge the various complaints that they have. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu is one sitting in the Haram Sharif in Makkah Mukarrama, when a person from Egypt, and this was where many of the fitna mongers, the rebels who had brutally assassinated Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu in his final days, emanated from. A person from Egypt comes to Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu and very brazenly says, I have some questions to ask you in full view of the public. That tell me about Uthman radiallahu anhu, is it true that he was not present in the Battle of Badr? Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says, I will answer your questions. Yes, he was not present. Secondly, that he was amongst those who had fled during the Battle of Uhud. He says, you are right. Thirdly, he was not present at the time of Bay'at al-Ridwan, the Pledge of Allegiance at the occasion of Sulh Hudaybiyah. Again, yes, you are right. The person thinks that you have overpowered. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says, that let me explain to you regarding each of these. Regarding the Battle of Uhud, there was pandemonium, there was anarchy. When the archers had left their positions, a major attack was staged. Many Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in were martyred, and a number of them in that pandemonium happened to leave the battlefield. But, very, very importantly, the answer to your question is, Allah has many, many times in the Quran said specifically about that occasion, وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Allah has completely forgiven all of those. Allah has forgiven them specifically regarding this group. So if Allah has forgiven, then what right do you have to raise any objections? As far as not being there for Badr, as mentioned, he was on the instruction of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeing to his wife, so much so that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the Battle of Badr, from the spoils of war, took out a specific portion for Uthman radiallahu anhu, just like those who had participated in Badr. And not only that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says he also has a full share in the reward of participating in the Battle of Badr. As far as the Bay'at al-Ridwan, the Pledge of Allegiance is concerned, when we arrived at Hudaybiyah, there was a need to send an ambassador of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for discussions into Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam chose Uthman radiallahu anhu on the mashur of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, knowing that he has very strong and deep family links, so as a negotiator, he would be in a strong position. He comes and stays with his cousin Aban. This one deviation from there. When he comes, he has his clothing as per the sunnah above the ankles. His cousin advises him that this is considered demeaning. Lower your trouser to below your ankles. It will put you in a stronger position. He says, this is how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, and I can never ever forsake what he has taught us for anything of this world. So no matter what the objective may seem as great as it is, but the means in getting there, if that contravenes Shariat, it does not justify it, no matter how great the objective is. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, in manifestation of love, when he is there, his family members say, seeing that you have come in, by all means go and perform the tawaf. He says, how can I do so when you have not permitted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I will never get myself to do it until and unless you allow my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do so as well. On the other hand, Sahaba with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, how lucky is Uthman, he has a chance of performing tawaf. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I know him well, he will never ever do so until I am permitted to do so, even if he spends years as a negotiator inside of Makkah. The false rumor reaches that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets the news that Uthman radiallahu anhu was martyred, was assassinated. Immediately the pledge of allegiance is taken. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts his Mubarak hand and every Sahabi present pledges to avenge the death of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu with the last drop of blood, amongst them Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala as well. So there was extreme muhabbat between them. When all of them had pledged their allegiance, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his own Mubarak hand and put it into the other hand and said that this hand of mine is on behalf of Uthman radiallahu anhu because he is absent for the reason that he is engaging in the duties that Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given to him. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu answers this query very beautifully. Said that Uthman radiallahu anhu, many other sterling services he had in his time, when Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu from the battlefield of Azerbaijan, Armenia, brings the news that many new entrants into Islam, so a dire need to have a reference copy of the Quran for the Ummah in all the major centers, and a great and a tedious task. The head of it was Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. It took 5 years to complete from the year 25 until 30 Hijri. The Ummah is indebted to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. He had extreme love for Quran. He says, I cannot fathom a day in my life goes by wherein I do not read from my Allah's advices to me from the Quran Kareem. He says, Allah has made three things beloved to me in this dunya. It'amul ji'an wa kiswatul uryan wa tilawatul Quran. Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and tilawat of Quran Kareem. One of the objections raised is that he was the person to introduce two adhans on the day of Jummah. Initially, up to his time, there was only one adhan, but when Islam had spread, the numbers had increased, there was somewhat of laxity. He saw the need that a first adhan be called before the khutbah, that gives people enough time to come back. And Nabi Sassam has supported this by saying that, follow my way, and the way of my khulafa, my successor who would come after me, what they introduce is also an integral part of deen. This was done with the unanimity of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and the leaders thereafter did not alter and change this. They had done it with the unanimity of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Now, one of the accusations against Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and what audacity does a person have to say when they say that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, na'udhu billah, a wealthy person in this country once stood on the minbar and made this blatant accusation that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was guilty of nepotism, favoring his family members and his close relatives of the Banu Umayyah. Now, one hand, as said at the beginning, they create this impression that the Banu Umayyah, Banu Hashim had enmity. Ponder the following facts. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had four daughters. Of the four, three, Hadrat Zainab, Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum radiallahu anhum, were married into the Banu Umayyah, and only one of the four, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, was married into the Banu Hashim. Hazrat Abu Sufyan, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhuma, were bosom friends coming from these two clans within the Quraysh. Now the fact, the accusation that he had appointed his relatives as leaders, as governors in various places, the facts are as follows. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, in his entire khilafah of 12 years, had appointed from his clan, the Banu Umayyah, only 5 governors out of 26. And that too, not one at the same time. When he passed away, only 3 of the Banu Umayyah governors had been in place in the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Compare this in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were a clan whom Allah had blessed with leadership qualities. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when one scrutinizes the various governors and leadership positions Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave in his time, then the clan who had assumed the most leadership positions appointed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was none other than the Banu Umayyah. We find similarly intermarriages. As said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's own daughters are an example. We find many, many other examples. Just to quote some of them. Aban bin Uthman, the son of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, who was his wife, he was married to the niece of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Umm Kulthum, the daughter of Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar. Sukaina, the daughter of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anha, was married to the grandson of Sayyidina Uthman, Zayd bin Amr bin Uthman. Hazrat Fatima, another daughter of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, who was she married to? Another grandson of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, brother of the previous mentioned one, Abdullah bin Amr bin Uthman. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu's daughter was also married to the grandson of Uthman radiallahu anhu, Marwan bin Aban bin Uthman. So is it conceivable that a person would ever give their daughter in marriage to one who is supposed to be an enemy of one? Impossible for this to ever happen. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala had a number of sons. 3 of them were named Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman. In fact, these 3 were all martyred with Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu on the occasion of Karbala. Hazrat Hassan, Hussein radiallahu anhu had sons. They named them Abu Bakr and Umar. So again, one of the most dear things to a person is the naming of a child. Is it conceivable that a person can ever name one's child after one's enemy? And at that, the family of Rasulullah whom Allah had blessed with abundant fearlessness, abundant strength, inner as well as outer, this is impossible for it to have ever happened. A person once come to Hazrat Zainul Abidin, the grandson of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, great-grandson of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, son of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. His name is Ali bin Hussein bin Ali ibn Abi Talib, the son of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, known as Zainul Abidin. He was renowned for the many qualities that he had. He would look after hundreds of poor families without even them knowing who is our benefactor. Only when he passed away did they find out that Hazrat Zainul Abidin was the one spending on our basic needs and necessities. A person once comes to him and starts to criticize Hazrat Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhu very severely. He says that, hold on, let me ask you something. Allah has mentioned a group in the Quran praising the Muhajirin. Mentions the ayah, lil fuqara al muhajirin. Are you of that group? The man says, no. Allah has praised a second group, the ayah thereafter, the ansar, walladina tabawa uddar. Are you from them? He says, no. He says, you yourself have excluded yourself from these 2 groups. And let me tell you something. In the 3rd ayah, Allah says, if you are not one of the 2, literally the meaning is, then be of a 3rd group who are the lovers and have clean feelings towards sahaba. I testify that you are not amongst them. Go and see what Allah will do with you in the future. This is the family of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu defending the integrity of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As far as the very sad martyrdom of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the plots had been hatched a long time before that. The originator of it was Abdullah bin Sabah, who is the father of Shi'ism, a Jew who portrayed himself to be a Muslim, went around spreading fitna and mischief in all the cities of the Islamic world. And he played on the emotion, tried to create this impression that the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are being oppressed by the Khulafa, and this could not be further from the truth. His co-conspirators, people like Ashtar al-Nakhai, Ruman bin Dhakwan, Jabalah, Ibn al-Kawwa, a number of them, a person from the tribe of Sadus, together, these were the leaders of this conspiracy. They then got together, a group of the riffraff and the low level of society, none of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were part of this. They had attempted to use Hazrat Muhammad bin Abu Bakr, the son of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, initially was, they tricked him into thinking that they were in a noble cause. But when Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu in detail listened to the accusations, he realized his folly and extricated himself from this group, was not part of those who had assassinated Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Eventually, after coming once to Medina Munawwara, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu listened to all the allegations, clarified them. They had no recourse but to go away. They then suddenly turned and came back, produced a letter that was forged in the name of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, giving the order for the assassination. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu explained that this is definitely not from me, but they were looking for any chance to achieve their objective. They had then surrounded the house of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, did not allow him to drink of the water of the nearby well, would not allow him to come down for salah, using very, very derogatory language against Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Now the critical part. In this extreme difficulty, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu once says to them that, let me speak to two of your leaders. Two of them come forward. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu says that, you tell me and verify what I'm saying is truthful, that the very masjid from which you prevent me, one occasion the masjid became too small. Nabi Sassam said there is a need for an extension. Whomsoever contributes, Allah Ta'ala guarantees him a great abode in Jannah. I single-handedly purchased the property for the extension of that masjid, and now you prohibit me from performing salah in that very same masjid. When we arrived into Medina Munawwara, sweet, fresh water was not available except at an exorbitant price from the Bir Rumah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, who will purchase this and dedicate it to the Muslims of Medina Munawwara, Allah will give him, guarantee him Jannah. I single-handedly purchased the Bir Rumah for the benefit of Muslims, and today you prevent me from drinking water from that very same well. The Jaishul Usrah, the expedition of Tabuk, a critical expedition, there was a dire need for financial contributions. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would encourage from the minbar. On that occasion, I had given 960 camels fully laden and 10,000 dinars, 10,000 gold coins. Half the expedition was funded single-handedly by Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. The narrator says, as Maulana beautifully mentions, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is putting his Mubarak fingers through those gold coins and says, whatever Uthman radiallahu anhu does after today, no harm will ever come to him. He has guaranteed literally his Jannah. Many other such instances. I was present in Bay'at al-Ridwan. I was not there when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his own Mubarak hand in place of my hand. When they said, yes, we acknowledge all of this, he says, there you are giving witness and testimony against yourself. A very critical and important point is to note that in those days when the home of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was surrounded by this low level and the riffraff of society, an impression that the Shia create is that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was left all alone. Everybody had turned against him. Again, nothing further from the truth. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu himself comes and literally begs Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, allow me, I can raise an army immediately of 500 people who will dispel them from here. Many other Sahaba, Hazrat Zubair ibn al-Awwam, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the youngsters of Sahaba, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu commands Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu, that I command you stand at the door of Uthman radiallahu anhu, do not allow anybody to lift a finger on him. The youngsters of the Sahaba, sons of great Sahaba, are standing as the close guardians of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, so much so that in the skirmishes, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, the son of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, incurs an injury in the defense of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. So, many other Sahaba, Hazrat Ummu Habiba radiallahu anha, Hazrat Safiya binti Huyay, the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make an effort to try and intercede. They're actually physically pushed aside by these rebels. They try to get water and eventually succeed, secretly get water to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. That's extremely challenging in difficult times. That is why Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala in later times, because his rebels after the assassination of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, they had compelled Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, after the assassination of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, compelled Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to take the pledge of allegiance as a leader. And therefore Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu went to great lengths in exonerating, saying that I'm totally free and innocent of the blood of Uthman radiallahu anhu. I have nothing to do with these who have brutally murdered him. For years and years, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, on that day I lost my mind. I did not know what to do. Went to the extent of saying that if it is possible, I will ask Allah that take my good deeds and keep giving them one after the other to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala until he becomes pleased and happy. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala had absolutely nothing to do with the assassination of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, exonerated himself on that last day, the 18th of Dhul Hijjah, a Friday. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, impeccable life that he had led, his love for Quran Kareem was engaged. He recited Surah Taha on that morning, read two rakats of Salah, put the Quran in front of him and continued reading. When the rebels eventually make their way into the home, his wife and servants and slaves come to his defense. Another important matter is all of those who had offered protection, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu implored them that if you take me as your Khalifa, do not spill any blood in my name. I ask you to leave this matter between me and them. Why did Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu refuse to fight or take the offer of fighting against them? Various reasons are given. He knew full well, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's last moments, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him, expressed great love for him, and gave him the glad tidings, you will die a death of martyrdom. Be steadfast, be patient in those final moments. Allah will give you a certain cloak to wear. Do not take it off yourself until others snatch it away from you. He knew that he is the personal target, so let me be a shield for the Sahaba. If I am the target, let them get rid of me, and no other Sahabi should be harmed because of me. He says, I do not want to be the first Khalifa to spill the blood of this Ummah. Look at the selflessness in his nature at that very difficult juncture. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala consoled him that rather not fight, you will have a higher moral ground in the court of Allah ta'ala against them on the day of Qiyamah. And many, many other great reasons. He had seen the dream that very same morning. He was fasting. He passed away in a state of fasting while making tilawat of the Quran Kareem. He sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhum are sitting together. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, accept the glad tidings that of your fast today you are going to make iftar with us. So he knew full well, many times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alluded he will be a martyr. He desired this martyrdom, desired this iftar with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they come into the home, his wife, Naila bintul Kharafisa, his servants and slaves come to his defense. His wife loses her fingers. Her fingers are cut off in defense of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Just a side question, that what is our relationship with our wives, with our servants, our domestics? Is it of such a nature that they would be prepared to put their lives in defense for us? A small little question for introspection. Eventually, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu implores his slaves. His generosity was of amazing levels. In those days when he was surrounded, normally habitually he would free slaves on a regular basis. In the days his home was surrounded, he increased in goodness. He had freed 40 slaves. In fact, he said to his slaves in that moment that whomsoever does not fight and oppose, immediately that person is free from slavery. Eventually they come and the brutal assassination of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala takes place while he is reading Quran in a state of fasting. He is stabbed, succumbs, and shahada and martyrdom is his lot as promised by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all those years ago. Amazingly, as he is assassinated, his Mubarak blood falls onto the Quran Kareem and aptly on the verse where Allah says, Fasayakfikahumullah, Allah ta'ala will take retribution. Allah suffice on your behalf against those who are your enemies. And every one of those had met a very dreadful end to their lives who had participated in the assassination. Some of them thereafter tried to show some remorse, but to no avail. Thereafter, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala's body, the ghusl kafan, was given by the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, the Shia. It's actually laughable what they say, that his body was left on a rubbish dump for 3 days, and then he was ditched into a grave, nothing further from the truth. Great Sahaba were present in his ghusl, in his kafan, and buried him at night time. Adal Zubair ibn al-Awam radiallahu anhu, one of the Ashara Mubashara, is the one who had led his Salatul Janazah, who had actually done the assassination, varying opinions, Ruman al-Yamani, some say a person by the name of Sadus from Egypt. But the most strong opinion is that Abdullah bin Sabah himself, whose title was the Black Death, is the one who had actually assassinated Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. So Allah ta'ala grant us sincere muhabbat, sincere love for every sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala protect our tongues from blemishing and our hearts from ill feelings towards a single companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Conclusion, one incident, Muhammad bin Sirin, great alim of this ummah, Allah blessed with expertise in interpretation of dreams. He says, I was making tawaf when I heard a person next to me saying, oh Allah, forgive me, but I think you will not forgive me. So he turns to him, he says, what are you saying? He says, let me tell you what is behind this. He says, I was amongst those who had participated in the assassination of Uthman radiallahu anhu. In those days, I took an oath that I will slap the face of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. May Allah protect, may Allah protect. He says, when people were paying their respects to his janaza, I walked into the room. There was nobody else. I was all alone. I removed the shroud and smacked the face. We'll say the Mubarak face of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. He says, from that day, my hand immediately became paralyzed. Muhammad bin Sirin says, I looked at his hand and it looked like a dead piece of wood. So this should serve as a warning for anybody harboring ill feelings or criticism towards the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. May Allah accept this sitting in the name of the love of the companions, the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our actions are weak, O Allah. But ya Allah, by mere mention of these great personalities, especially this greatly oppressed son-in-law to two daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the third Khalifa, third greatest human being on the surface of this earth, after Ambiya alayhi salatu was salam, may Allah, by this manifestation of muhabbat towards them, be the means of our najat, our salvation, amongst those whom may, they say on the day of Qiyamah, O Allah, they had spoken about us, they had praised us, they had defended our dignity, so Allah, allow them enter into Jannah. May Allah ta'ala make us amongst them. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم فرج عن كرب المسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين. So like one important point is that we see these ideological criticisms, and therefore not surprisingly what is happening in many parts of the Muslim world, especially Syria, Iraq, the atrocities against the Muslimin, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We see what is happening in Ghouta, in many other parts of Syria, literally without exaggeration, such horrendous dhulam and oppression on the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that nowhere else has it happened in our lifetimes. Not in any other part of the world have the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah been so targeted with the severest, most horrendous forms of dhulam that no other country can equate to what is happening to them. And who are perpetrators? It is the very same Shia. When they come into ascendancy, when they're in minority, they will say, we are brothers and we are Sunni and Shia. Remember, an integral part of the deen is taqiyah. It is actually thawab to lie and conceal one's true belief in order to further one's mission. But look at when they're in the ascendancy, when they're in a position of strength and authority, what is happening in Syria, what happened a few years ago in Iraq, is clear proof to the extreme hatred that they have towards the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So let us become aware of this great fitna and make ourselves, make those around us aware. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.